Okay, we are learning Maseches Sukkah, and if you remember last time, we learned that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about if you have an animal and the animal wants to be a sukkah wall, does that work? Can you make a sukkah wall out of an animal? So the opinion of Rabbi Meir is that a animal cannot be a sukkah wall, it cannot be pasei be'ra'os, these, we call it like a primordial mechitza of sort, it cannot be a lechi for a mavoi, it cannot be a golol for a kever. We spoke about that last time at length, what exactly a golol is. But the basic halacha is that according to Meir, animals cannot be any of these things. And the Gemara then had a discussion, what's the pshat in Rabbi Meir? And there are two opinions. One opinion in the Gemara was that the reason why, according to Meir, an animal cannot serve as, let's say, a wall of a sukkah is because the animal might die. The other opinion was that, no, we're not worried the animal is going to die. Dying is not the most common thing. It happens to people only once in their lifetime. But the idea is that the animal might run away. And because the animal might run away, that's why it does not count as a mechitza. So this is what the Gemara established on Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. And the Gemara basically says this complicated scenario that we end up when all is said and done, the case is that you have the legs of an animal. The legs of the animal would be like a breach in the mechitza, but you have chutzav adafna over there. You have like this type of small fencing by the legs of the animal. And then if you're worried that the animal is going to fall down or bend down, so you have the animal tied up. And the animal's tied up on top, so that's why it would be okay. The only thing is that we're worried that when the animal is going to die, it won't be kosher, because what will emerge is that you only had a good mechitza because it was in three tefachim of the sfach. Now that the animal dies, it's going to drop a little bit and you're not going to notice. So that's why it won't be a good mechitza in that case. That is, that's the basic idea of the Gemara. I see you've changed the name, Tova, probably because of the conversation that we had a minute ago. Okay, so let's pick up from the top of Chof Gimel Amud Beis, the top line. Okay, let's go. Zakti Gemara. Umi Amar Abaye that Reb Meir is Chayish Lamisa, Reb Yehuda Lo Chayish. Right, the way Abaye set it up on Amud Aleph, the reason why Rabbi Meir says an animal cannot be a wall for a sukkah is because there's a chashash of misa, because the concern is the animal is going to die. And Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh for misa. Rabbi Yehuda is not worried the animal is going to die. But this is not simple, because we have a contradiction in sources. We have a Mishnah in Gittin, but none. Basi soshinisis for Kohen, v'holach b'aylel medinas hayam. If you have a Jewish woman who married a Kohen, and the husband goes to Medinas Hayam. Basically, a Ashes Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. The question in this case is this woman an Ashes Kohen? Is she the wife of a Kohen? Or do I have to be concerned that the husband died? This woman is married to a Kohen, but the husband went away, to Medinas Hayam. He goes away to a distant land. So we don't really know, is he still alive? So the halacha is ochelas b'truma b'cheskas shukayim. So the first source says that this woman can eat truma on the assumption that the husband is still alive. V'ramino nala, but we ask a question on that. Hareza gitech sha'achas kodem misosi, asura lecho b'truma miyad. Right? If a husband gives his wife a get, and he says, this get is going to take effect the moment before I die. So the halacha is that you have to be worried that you're going to die at any moment. And therefore, this woman is not entitled to eat truma. So I have two cases. I have one case about an Ashes Kohen whose husband is in Medinas Hayam. That's one case. And in that case, she's allowed to eat truma. I have another case about a husband who's a Kohen, who gives his wife a get, and he says, I want this get to take effect one moment before I die. So in that case, we have to be concerned that maybe he'll die at any moment, and therefore she's not allowed to eat truma. So that's our stira. Is she allowed to eat truma? Not allowed to eat truma. By the way, why is he giving her this get a moment before he dies? Like, what's going on over here? So Rashi, towards the top of the page, explains. Right, Zakt Rashi. It's like the third line from the top. Yare shalo yamos pitom, o bi'ir acheres, v'tizakek ishto l'chalitza. The guy is worried that he's going to die, and he doesn't want his wife to have to go through the whole chalitza process. Right? The basic issue is, this guy, he's being kind to his wife. When he's trying to get her divorced, he's trying to divorce her, he's being nice to her. He says, listen, I'm worried I'm going to die. If I die, you'll end up having to fall to Yibum, to my brother. And I don't want you to go through that process. I don't want you to have to go through the Yibum, the Chalitza process. So therefore, he's giving her the get now. He gives her the get while he is still healthy. But he says, I don't want the get to take effect until the moment before I die. So in that case, she's still allowed to eat truma. So this is our stira. This is the contradiction. Am I nervous that the guy's going to die? Or am I not nervous he's going to die? That's the basic issue, right? Are you worried that he's going to pass away? If you're worried he's going to pass away, so therefore she should not be allowed to eat truma, like we see in the case of the get. But in the other case, she is allowed to eat truma because we're not nervous he'll die. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, the same person, the same Abaya, Lo Kasha. Zakti Gemara, that there's no question at all. Abaye answers, Reb Meir is not nervous about Misa. Reb Yehuda is nervous about Misa. Meaning that the case which we had when the husband goes away to Medinas Hayam, that the wife is still allowed to eat Shruma, that case is talking about Reb Meir, that the author of that case is Reb Meir. Reb Meir is not worried, is not choshesh for Misa. Rabbi Yehuda is chayesh for Misa. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's the author of the statement that when the husband gives the wife a get to take effect a moment before he dies, so in that case, she is not allowed to eat truma because Rabbi Yehuda is nervous about Misa. D'tanya, we're going to prove that Rabbi Meir is not choshesh l'misa, and Rabbi Yehuda is. D'tanya, the case is as follows. Halokeach yayin mibein hakutim. A fellow buys wine from the kutim. What are the kutim? So the kutim are what we call the bad Samaritans, no? They're the people who live at Har Shomron. They gave the Jews many problems. The Kutim also, and Tosfos will elaborate on this, we'll talk about it a little bit more. The Kutim were very careful about certain mitzvos, but they were not careful about other mitzvos. Meaning, the Kutim were very careful about Torah Shebikseiv, but they were not into Torah Shebaalpeh at all. Now, it sounds a little bit like the Karaites, and there are some who try to draw some historical connection between the Kutim and the Karaites. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know. But the fact is, this fellow purchases wine from the Kutim. Now, the assumption is that the Kutim are not taking off Trumas and Maisers. The assumption is that the Kutim definitely do not take off Trumas and Maisers. There is a halacha, an entire Masechta in Shas called Demai. Demai is about an Am Haaretz. If you meet someone that's an Amoritz, you can tell them, wow, you're such an important Jew. There's like an entire Masechta about you, right? Demai basically is the Amoritz is somebody who tries to keep halacha, but is very cheap. Doesn't want to spend a lot of money. So the Am HaOretz will take off Truma, because Truma is a tiny amount. Truma may Iker Hadin. All you have to do is take off one little grain of wheat, and that exempts the entire silo. Midrabbanan, the practice is you either give a 50th, a 60th, or a 40th, depending on how generous you are. Most people give a 50th. So Amei HaOretz would take off Truma, but because they were cheap, they would not take off Meiser. Kutim would not take off either Truma or Meiser. Amei HaOretz, their food is Demai. We're not sure if they took it off or not. We have a suffix. So therefore you take off again. You take off the Meiser again. The Kutim, Vadai, certainly did not take off Truma. So this fellow is Lokeach Yayin Mibein HaKutim. He purchases wine from the Kutim. And the case is, this part of the case is mentioned in Rashi and in Tosfos, but it's not explicit here in the Gemara. The fellow is unable, he or she is unable to take off Trumas and Maisris now because it's Erev Shabbos and there ain't enough time. That's the way Rashi learns in one explanation. That's the way Tosfos learns the case. There's not enough time to take off Trumas and Maisris. So what do you do? So Halokech Ein Ben Akutim, Omer, he says, Shnei Lugin Shani Osid LaHafrish Harehin Truma. He says, the two Lugim that I will take off later, that is Truma. Let's say you start with 100. Truma is supposed to be 1 out of 50. So advanced mathematics. If you have 100 and you take 1 out of 50, that means 2 Lugim is going to be the Truma. Asara, Maiser Rishon. 10 of them will be Maiser Rishon, because Maiser Rishon is 1/10. Right? Truma goes to the Kohen. Maiser goes to the Levi. Truma is 1/50. Maiser is 1/10. Tisha, Maiser Sheni. 9 is Maiser Sheni, because after you took off the Maiser Rishon, you have only 90 that remains. Maiser Sheni is a 2/10. So 1/10 of 90 is 9. Now the halacha Maiser Sheni is I'm supposed to take it up to Yerushalayim, and I'm supposed to eat the fruit there in Yerushalayim. If I'm unable to take the fruit up to Yerushalayim, so there's a halacha that I could be mechalal the Maiser Sheni on Mos. What I could do is I can exchange the kedusha and the Maiser Sheni for some money, and then take that money up to Yerushalayim and purchase food in Yerushalayim with that money. That's the halacha. So this guy, Erev Shabbos, he is unable to take off the Trumas and Maiser, not enough time. So he says, you know what? The two lugim I'm going to take off is Maiser Rishon, and 10 is my, two lugim is Truma. 10 is Maiser Rishon. 9 is Maiser Sheni. Umechal Bishote Miyad. Umechal means I take the Maiser Sheni and I put it on some money. I say that the Kedusha of the Maiser Sheni will get thrown onto some coins that I have at home. It's Shabbos already, so you're not going to pick up the money and exchange the Maiser Sheni for the money. But Mechal, the way Rashi learns, is that you have most Sheyeshal B'toch Beso. You have some money at home, and you're saying the Kedushas Maiser Sheni will go onto that money, B'shose Miyad, and you drink right away. Divrei Reb Meir. That's what Reb Meir says. According to Reb Meir, you're allowed to drink right away. The Truma, the Maiser, everything took effect. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosef, Reb Shimon, Osrim. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon say it's usser. And at this point, the Gemara is saying that the reason why they say it's usser is because they are worried about Shema Yibaka Hanud. Meaning to say, I have a jar. It originally had 100 lugim of wine in it. When all is said and done, now I'm going to have 79 lug that remain. But there's a problem. I'll have 100 lug still in the jar, but only 79 of those lug are usable. I have 21 lug, which are not usable because they are truma and meiser, etc., right? 2 for truma, 10 for meiser, 9 for meiser sheni. So I only have 79 that's usable. There's a concern of Shema Yibaka Hanud. The concern is that this Anud is technically a wine sack, that the wine sack might break. And if the wine sack breaks, so then what's going to happen is that I will not have enough remaining to be meiser. The meiser that I have is supposed to be at the very end, right? I'm drinking over Shabbos. I want wine at my Shabbos meal. And I couldn't take all my trumas and meiser before Shabbos. I didn't have enough time. So what I do is I say this trick. Oh, 2 is truma, 10 is meiser, and 9 is meiser sheni. And then I drink all Shabbos and ketov lev hamelach bayayin, and everything is great and it's amazing. But this only works if acharei kichlos hakol, if at the end there will be some wine that remains to serve as your truma, as your meiser sheni. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon, they say Shema Yibaka Hanud. They say, well, I'm worried. You can't do this trick because maybe that wine sack is going to split open. And if the wine sack splits open, so you're not going to have anything remaining to be your truma, your meiser, etc. So let's pause for a second. So Abaye is proving from... We ask a question. First, Abaye says that Rabbi Meir is the one who is not nervous about dying. But Rabbi Yehuda is nervous about dying, right? That's how we answer the contradiction between... That's how we answer the contradiction between the two sources in Gittin. Rabbi Meir is not nervous about dying. Rabbi Yehuda is nervous about dying. And we prove that Rabbi Meir is not nervous about dying because Rabbi Meir says that I'm not worried about Shema Yibaka Hanud. Rabbi Meir allows me to do this trick of taking my truma, my meiser sheni off, right? Or designating it right before Shabbos. And he's not worried that it's going to split open. That means Rabbi Meir is not worried about Misa. But this contradicts Amar Aleph, because on Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, we're saying that according to Rabbi Meir, an animal cannot be a wall of a sukkah because maybe the animal is going to die. So basically, Chav Gimel Amar Beis is a very long question. The whole thing is one question. You're telling me that Rabbi Meir is worried. You, Abaye, are saying that Rabbi Meir is worried the animal is going to die. But that can't be, because you, Abaye, resolved a contradiction between two sources in Gittin. One source says you're allowed to eat truma when your husband's out of town. The Eishes Kohen can eat truma. The other source says that when you give the get the month before you die, you can't eat truma. The resolution to that contradiction is, oh, Rabbi Meir is not worried about death. And we prove Rabbi Meir is not worried about death because Rabbi Meir is not worried about Shema Yibaka Hanud. So therefore, he's not worried about death also. Jasmine, it looks like you have a comment.
Yeah. Separate from what Rabbi Meir thinks, if you had a situation in which you bought 100 lugs of wine and you actually separated out, like you put 21 in one wineskin, your other 79 in another, and then you were drinking from the one that only had the 79 in it, so like you had separated it, and then your one with 21 broke. what would be different about that case versus if you didn't actually separate it out?
What would be different in that case is, in that case, I already took off my truma and meiser. I got my mitzvah of designating this is truma. I have now a jar with 21 things that is truma. In our case, I didn't yet designate the truma in the sense of it's all mixed together in the same wineskin.
Okay, so we're concerned about like the act of designation, not about actually doing with it what you're supposed to do with it.
Right. In other words, okay. If I take off truma, so I'm supposed to give it to a Kohen. Let's say I take off truma, and before I give it to the Kohen, so an animal comes and eats the truma, I got my mitzvah of taking off the truma. There's a second mitzvah of giving it to the Kohen, but at least I took off truma. Over here, I didn't really take off the truma and the meiser. It's all mixed in. So if that wine skin breaks, I'm in trouble.
Got it.
That's the issue of Shemini Bakahanud. Now let's just take, right, we have a contradiction. On Omer Aleph, Rabbi Meir is saying he is, in Omer Aleph, Abaye is understanding Rabbi Meir that an animal cannot be a mechitza for a sukkah because it might die. On Omer Beis, we see that according to Rabbi Meir, we're not worried about death. And the proof was from this case of the truma, etc., Erev Shabbos, right? That's the proof. By the way, math majors, I start off with 100. So I take two off for truma. So how much miser should I take off afterwards?
Yeah, I was going to ask. You should take 9.8.
Should be 9.8, not 10, right? So Tosis asks that, Kasha. We promised Zoe that we wouldn't do any Tosis until Zoe came. So Zoe's here already. So we can... the assumption is that people didn't have a chance to really read the Tosis. There's a ton of material here. But if you look at the Tosis that begins, Asara Meiser Rishon, so Tosis writes, Lav Davka, Dekvar Hifrish Min Hameya, Shnei Lugin Lechuma Gedola, Venimso Choser Mehanach, Asara Vitisha Meiser, Shor Shnei Lugin, Dehainu, Chomesh Halug, etc. Like basically, Tosis is saying that the numbers are not precise, but it's easy, but it's easier to do it this way. To speak in terms of 10 and 9 is easier than speaking in terms of 9.8 and whatever. That would be like fuzzy math, or we don't want to get there. Fine. Oh. So what this Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Meir is not worried about death. That's why Rabbi Meir is not worried about Shema Yibokah Hanud, etc. Now, I should point out that there is another halachic issue that is going on in this Gemara, not just whether I'm choshesh for Misa and Shema Yibaka Hanud, etc., but there's also an issue called Breira. Breira is, can I determine something now based on what will happen later? I remember when I was in the Kollel, so I had to give a chabura about the topic of Brira. So Rabbi Bleich was around the base measure. So I asked Rabbi Bleich, how do you translate the words Brira? So he says, oh, that's easy. I'm like, okay, let's hear this one. He's like, contingent act that's retroactively defined. Okay, now you got it. That's what Brira is. It's a contingent act that's retroactively defined. Meaning, right? I am doing this act of taking off trumas and maestris, etc., but it's retroactively defined. Retroactively, I'm going to know what is the truma, what's the maestris. Right now, I don't know. Right now, it's Shabbos. Right now, everything is mixed in together. I'm going to retroactively say that it works. So there are two issues in this case of the wine. One issue is the concern whether the wine sack is going to break. And that's the immediate issue that our Gemara is addressing. That's the concern of Shema Yibaka Hanud, which is the same as whether a Choshesh Lamisa. We're assuming now that if you're nervous that a wine sack will break, you're also going to be nervous that death will happen. They're both unusual occurrences, but it could happen in both cases. The Gemara is paralleling them.
There Can I is ask a question?
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I do. Okay. No, my question is, are we saying, like, the case one of Mita involving the wife of the Kohen, there wasn't really Mita in that case in the same sense as the second one. Like, the second one, it was the fact that it's death combined with a halakhic act, isn't it? Like, isn't, like, I'm just trying to understand how we're making...
But again, in the first case, the husband is... The question is, can this woman eat truma?
Correct.
Right now, she's the wife of a Kohen. If she's not the wife of a Kohen, if hubby died, so she can't eat truma. Right. We have not heard from hubby in years. He is away on Gilligan's Island. We don't know where he is. Right? No one knows.
He's on Gilligan's Island. Okay.
Okay, but that means that, like, you're not going to find him for many, many years. And he's away drinking his coconuts or whatever he's doing over there. But we allow her to eat truma, because we're assuming that the husband is not dead. That's the halacha. However, in the case of the husband who gives his wife a get, and he wants the get to take effect a moment before he dies, so in that case, we say that she cannot eat truma because we are nervous he's going to die. So we have a contradiction on Ahmed Bey's. So Abaye answers the contradiction. Oh, Rabbi Meir is not nervous about death. My proof that Rabbi Meir is not nervous about death is that Rabbi Meir allows me to take off the truma and meiser in this razzle-dazzle fancy way on Erev Shabbos. I can take off my truma and meiser, and I'm not worried that the wine sack is going to split open. That means Rabbi Meir is not nervous about death. And that's how Abaye answered the question on the base. So the Gemara asks, 1 second, but on Amr Aleph, you said that Rabbi Meir is nervous about death. Yeah. So then we just took a pause for a second, and we noted that there's another issue going on in this case of taking off the trumas and maestris from the wine, and that's the other issue is called breira. That if Rabbi Meir says, or whoever says it works, has to abide or have to accept this halachic principle of breira, the halachic principle that we allow you to later on define things. Right? I'm drinking wine all Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos, I'm going to say, oh yeah, the bit of wine that remains, the 21 lug that remains of this wineskin, that's my truma meiser. But I'm not going to know that until the very end. So if it works, you have to make two assumptions. Assumption one, you're not worried that the wine sack is going to split open. Assumption two, you have to assume that breira works. That second assumption about breira has not yet been brought up in the Gemara, but the Gemara will talk about it in a few minutes. But hold it. So back to the top line of Kaptala Amr Aleph. We have a contradiction. Is Remeir koshish for Misa or not koshish for Misa? So the Gemara answers, Epoch. Remeir chayish for Misa. Reb Yehuda lo chayish for Misa. Right? We're saying that the answer to the contradiction in cases in Gittin is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, but we'll reverse it. That Rabbi Meir is going to say that he is Choshesh Lamisa. So the source that says that I give the get to my wife a moment before I die, that she cannot eat truma, that goes according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa, but Rabbi Yehuda is not Choshesh Lamisa. The proof that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa is the Tanya. Asa'a lebehema dofen lasuka. Rabbi Meir posel. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. We have our source that says, right, our case in sukkah, that if you make a wall of a sukkah out of an animal, Rabbi Meir says it's no good because he's nervous and will die. So therefore, the case in Gittin that she cannot eat truma goes according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa. But then the Gemara says, 1 second, Bakasha Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. But now I have a contradiction in Rabbi Meir's, because you're telling me that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa. Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa. How can Rabbi Meir allow me to take off the truma and the meiser, etc., from this wine sack don't you have to be worried that the wine sack will split open? So the Gemara answers, Amar lach Rav Meir, Misa shchicha, Bikias nud, Lo shchicha, Efshar de masala, Neshomer. Meaning that, yeah, death happens all the time. But wine sacks don't always break open. You could set up a situation the wine sack is not going to break open, because what you'll do is you'll appoint someone. You're hereby designated as the wine sack guardian. It's like you have a whole label. It's like a really exciting job. You're the shomer for the wine sack. So what the Gemara is saying basically is that Meir is choshesh l'misa, but the Meir is not choshesh for Bikias Hanud, because Bikias Hanud is not as likely to happen as death. So then the Gemara asks, Kashid Rebbe Yehuda ad Rebbe Yehuda. But now I have a contradiction in Rebbe Yehuda's. Because with respect to Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the animal is allowed to be the wall of a Sukkah. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda is not nervous that the animal is going to die. Yet in the case of the Truma and Meiser, Rabbi Yehuda says, don't do this trick, because he is choshish for Misa. So Gemara asks, Kashid Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, Taimed Rabbi Yehuda, Laf Mishum Dechayesh Abkiyas Hanud, Ela Mishum Delasle Breira. The Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda, when he says it does not work, Rabbi Yehuda is not nervous about the sack breaking open. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda does not allow you to take off Trumas and Maisris in this wild way is because he denies Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does not allow me to say retroactively those 21 things that remained, that is my Truma and my Maisr Sheni, etc. Okay, so then...
Or Schwartz.
Yes.
Shouldn't we all, if Rabbi Meir is worried about death, shouldn't he be worried that the person would die before they actually separate the wine?
That's an interesting question. So, again, in Halacha we distinguish between like the Maisa and the Chalos. I did the Maisa, I did the act of separating the Trumas and Maisras now. I did it. The thing is, it can't take effect until the end of Shabbos, and what I have remaining will be the Trumas and Maisras. If I die earlier, so if anything, there's more Truma that remains. There's less of a problem. Right? The only... right? If anything, right? Dying would make things better. That's like a very mean thing to say to somebody. But like, yeah, if you would die, everything would be great. I think that's the point. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir is choshesh for Misa. And that's why Rabbi Meir says that the animal cannot be the wall of the sukkah. By the case of the Truma, Rabbi Meir is going to say it works because Rabbi Meir is not worried that the wineskin will split open. Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh l'misa. Yet Rabbi Yehuda says in the case of Truma, it does not work. It has nothing to do with wineskin splitting open or not. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda denies the principle of Breira. Now, if you want to just inhale and take a look at a massive Tosfos, this Tosfos that begins Divrei Rav Meir at the bottom of Chaf Gimel Beis and goes on until the end of the Golos. So that Tosfos is basically asking contradictions within Rabbi Meir and within Rabbi Yehuda about this sugya of Breira. This is like a major Shas sugya. It comes up in 1,000 places. We're not doing it now. Then I just want to read a few more lines in the Gemara, and then I want to talk about, if we have time, like two lines from the Tosfos or so. So then the Gemara asks, "V'lo chayish Rabbi Yehuda lebikias hanud?" Right, we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the sack is gonna break open because Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about death. You tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is not nervous about the sack breaking open. V'hamidiktani seifa amrulol Rabbi Meir iatamoda shema yibaka hanud v'nimtzesa shota tivalim lamafreya v'amar lahu likeshe yibaka. At the end of this source, the end of this Mishnah and Demai about Erev Shabbos, you bought wine from the Kutim, etc. So Amru lo Rabbi Meir. Remember, Rabbi Meir says it works. So Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Meir, the they is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. They say to Rabbi Meir, hey, Rabbi Meir, dude, how can you say it works? Aren't you worried about Shema Yibaka Hanud? Aren't you worried that the sack is going to break open? So we say that that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That's his question to Rabbi Meir. He says, what, you're not worried about Shema Yibaka Hanud? And Rabbi Meir says, Lukashay Yibaka. Rabbi Meir says, you know what? When it happens, I'll call the bluff. Yeah, you're nervous it's going to break open? Maybe. I'll call the bluff, I'm assuming, right? If it happens, I'll deal with the problem then. But that would seem to indicate, Mechlau, that indicates, the Chayish Rabbi Yehuda will be Kiyas Hanud. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is worried about it. So Gemara says, no. Hazar Rabbi Yehuda, Huda Kamen Reb Meir, Lidi Di Lesle Breira, Ela Di Dach Di Yesh Breira, Iyata Mode, De Shema Yibaka Hanud, Amrele, Likashay Yibaka. Right? Basically, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir is, listen, I myself am not worried that the sack is going to break open. I'm not choshesh lamisa. But you, Rabbi Meir, you hold yesh breira. For me, it's no good, says Rabbi Yehuda, because I hold ein breira. But for you, you hold yesh breira. Shouldn't you be worried that maybe the sack will break open? So the answer is no, I'm not nervous. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. You know what? Maybe we'll pause over here. The Gemara has a few other questions about Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, whether we're choshesh for Misa. I want to talk about one or two lines in the Tosfos just because I think they're a little bit exciting. And then maybe if we have time, we'll come back to this. Okay, so the first issue is the top Tosfos on Chof Gimel Mebeis. Halokeach yayin mibein hakutim. You are buying wine from Samaritans. Is Samaritan wine kosher? Are you allowed to go, like, they still have this thing in, like, Hargrizim, no? You could go, like, on Sukkis, it's like a big deal. So is Samaritan wine kosher? So the impression you get from our Gemara is that the Samaritan wine is kosher. That's the impression that you get from our Gemara. Rashi over here comments, Halokeach yayin mibein hakutim. If you look at Rashi, it's like halfway through Chof Gimel Amid Beis. Rashi writes, Kodem shegazer alehen kedarminan bahakol shochtim. The Gemara in Chulin says that they used to think that the kutim were okay people. And then they found that there was a demus yona. They had like the image of a turtle dove that was hidden in Har Grizim. That showed that they were actually worshiping Avodah Zarah. And then they made the gezeiras that the Kutim have the status of Goyim. At one point in Jewish history, the Gemara in Chulin says, they found that the Kutim actually were Oved Avodah Zarah. So then they said that the Kutim have the status of Avodah Zarah, etc. They have this, the Kutim are considered like Goyim, etc. So Rashi is telling me that our Gemara is going in prehistory. Our Gemara is before they made the Gezeira on the Kutim.
Ruf Schwartz.
Yes. I'm just trying to see who's talking. Yeah. Oh, hi, Sima.
How would you make a Gezeira? Like, I know the Kutim have like a really weird status, but like, how do you make a gezeira that someone who's Jewish is no longer? You can say halachically treat them, but you can't. I don't know. It's very weird.
So, I mean, that's what we're saying. We're saying that halachically we treat them as goyim. We say that you can't marry into the kutim. We say that if a kuti shechts an animal, the shechita is no good. We make all of these statements. We treat them like goyim. Yeah, they might technically be Jewish. Halachically, you can't like remove someone's Judaism. It's not like a coat that you could take off. But Chazal made a gezeira that the Kutim have the din of Kutim have the din of Goyim. Now, the thing that Tosis gets involved in is the Kutim came in the days of Yehoshua. And they tricked the... One second. No, those are the Givonim. The Kutim... Okay, who remembers Navi? I'm sorry.
Didn't they come in... Oh, I thought they came to Alexander. Wasn't there a whole thing?
No, so that's later. The Kutim came... I think the Kutim came in the days of David. And the Givonim came in the days of Yehoshua. Right. In the days of David, the Kutim came. And there's a discussion in the Gemara whether the Kutim were ever Jewish or not. Do we assume that Kutim are Gerei Emes, that initially they converted sincerely, or do I assume that they are Gerei Arayos, that they only converted because of the lions? There was some fear that they had, etc. So Tosfos over here basically raises the issue that it could be that the Kutim were not Jewish, but nonetheless, their wine was not treated like the wine of Goyim. If you look in the Tosfos in like the last wide line going into the skinny lines, Tosfos writes, so Afagad Reb Yosin Reb Shimon, Dahacha, Reb Yosef and Shimon are the authorities in Ar Gemara, Sham Inan Luchu and Menachis and Perkab Yishmael, that they hold Kutim Gerei Arayos Hain. They assume that Kutim are non-Jews. Mikom Makom Efshar de Kishengazu Ayenum Shal Nachrim, Lo Gazu Al Shal Kutim, Kavan de Prushime Avoda Zara, Yoter Mishaar Nachrim, Umachazikim Betorshe Bechtav. Tosis says that it's entirely possible that the Kutim are better than other Goyim. Because at that initial point in history, if you hold that the Kutim are Gerei Arayos, if you hold that they were never halakhically Jewish, but still at one point in history, they did not worship Avodah Zarah, and therefore their wine would be non-kosher. Their wine, excuse me, would be kosher, as opposed to the wine of the other Goyim, whose wine is not kosher. Now that's just an important statement, because the following point. Why is wine of non-Jews treif? So there are contradictions in Gemaras throughout Avodah Zarah. There are certain halachos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, like Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is a concern of intermarriage. Right? If the guy is going to cook food, you'll go into the guy's house, you'll enjoy the fettuccine Alfredo, you'll end up getting married. Right? That's the way things work all the time. So the thing is, they're concerns of Mishum Bnoseim, they're concerns of intermarriage. There's also a concern with the wine, that the wine perhaps was poured for Avodah Zarah. Yeinom Shog Nochrim, Goyish wine is usher for two reasons, or for one of two reasons. Right, the concern of intermarriage and the concern of Avodah Zarah. What Aratosis is saying is that the Kulti wine was kosher because the Kutim did not worship Avodah Zarah. Even though the Kutim are non-Jews, we're going according to that opinion that the Kutim are Gerei Arayos, that they only converted because of the fear of these lions. There is never a sincere conversion. So they're not Jewish. But still, their wine is not treif because they're not Oved Avodah Zarah. Right? That's the huge question in halacha. Wine of a monotheistic guy, is that wine treif? Take Islam. Is the wine of a Muslim, a monotheist, is his or her wine kosher? So as a matter of halacha, we paskin, the wine is treif. Because we aser wine also because of intermarriage. And you're not allowed to intermarry with a Muslim, even if they are not Oved Avodah Zarah. this line in Tosis is interesting in that Tosis is saying that the Kutim, their wine would actually be kosher because they do not serve Avodah Zarah. That means that Tosis is saying that the Isser of Yayin is based on Avodah Zarah exclusively, not based on intermarriage at all, because we're going with those opinions that the Kutim are Gerei Arayos. That's one point. Inhale. Good? Should we go on to the next point? Next point in Tosis. This Tosis that begins Shnei Lugin, basically what Tosis develops is that the case in the Gemara is that you're taking Truma and Meiser, etc. off before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to take off the Truma and Meiser on Shabbos. So that's why you're doing this whole razzle-dazzle thing. That's the way Tosis sets it up. By the way, Rashi says this explanation also. But Rashi has a second explanation as well. How come you're doing this fancy thing that you're saying two parts are Truma, 10 parts are Meiser? Why don't you just take off the Truma and Meiser? So if you look at the Rashi, Omer Shnei Lugin, it's again halfway through the skinny lines. Right, Rashi writes, Shnei Lugin Min Hameya, two of the 100 is Truma. Hare Shem Truma, Kari Alehim Betochel. So there's Truma in them. Ukigon, Shehigia Leole Shabbos. The case is that it's almost Shabbos. That's what you've been saying it the whole time. Oh, alternatively, Rashi writes, Ein Imo Kalim Tahurim Lahafresh Betochen Truma Meiser. Rashi has a second explanation, which Tosis does not get involved in at all. Rashi's second explanation is that the reason why you're doing this whole razzle-dazzle trick of taking off the truma based on what's going to remain, the 21 parts out of 100, etc., that's because the halacha is that truma can't become tamei. I can't take truma off now because I don't have any vessels, I don't have any kelim, which are tahar, into which I can put my truma. So therefore, I am taking the truma off in this weird, unusual way by not actually physically removing it, just making this declaration because I don't have tahar kalim. That's the second explanation of Rashi, but that explanation doesn't get traction. Tosis deals with the issue that the case obviously is it's Erev Shabbos, and you're taking off the truma and meiser because you can't take it off on Shabbos. The halach is you're not allowed to take Shuma Meiser off on Shabbos, etc. Up. Now, if you pick up from the Tosfos in the second very wide line, there's like narrow lines, medium wide, and then very wide. So the words say velo mairi. It's like 7-8 words before the end of the second very wide line. V'lo mairi nami ba'od yom. We're not talking about that early in the day on Friday. Ella, the case has to be she'en shahus b'yom kedei lahafresh. There's not enough time to take off trumas and maises. De imkain, neima maises she'en b'tzfono v'dromo v'chaleno v'yishte kimo gabi demai. Right? If it will be earlier in the day, so then you should really designate where it is. Say the north stuff over here, the south stuff over there. But the case that we are dealing with is Ella Shad Shachach Ad Bein Hashmashos Ayri. We're talking about that you forgot to take off Truma until Bein Hashmashos. The Aser Lahafresh. You're not allowed to take off Truma during Bein Hashmashos. Like we say in Bamem Badlikim, Safik Hashecha, Ein Na'asr Nes Havadai. Uperos Kutim, Vadai. Safik Hashecha, meaning Bein Hashmashos. You're not sure if it's dark yet. So you're allowed to take off demai. You're allowed to take meiser off of food that may have been meisered. But we're not sure. That's like the produce of an am ha'aretz that we spoke about before. But ein ma'asrin es ha'vadai. Safik ha'shecha v'tz erev Shabbos. Bein ha'shmashos. Safik ha'shecha bein ha'shmashos. You cannot take off meiser from something that has a definite obligation. And Peros Kutim have a din of Vadai, Tosa says. De Afal Gab de Amrimon, in Perek Shlosha Sha'achlu, Hani kutai asure ma'asri karoi. Dekevon dechsib ba'oraisa mizhar zahiri. Tosa says, this is the point I want to get to. Tosa says, even though the Gemara in Brachos tells me that the kutim actually take off ma'aser, because we mentioned, kutim do what it says in scripture. The Torah says, take off ma'aser. It's in Torah Shebiksav. So they do it. So even though the kutim do take off ma'aser, hani mili kisherotzim le'echol. Aval limkar lo chayshi alifnei iver didarshi le kipashte. Kutim will take off ma'aser. But they're only going to take off ma'aser if they will eat the fruit themselves. But a kuti will not take off ma'aser for you to eat it. Because the kuti is going to say, I don't care if she eats fruit which is not ma'asered. I don't care, because so what? You're telling me I'm going to do an aveira? There's an aveira called lifnei iver. Lifnei iver means I shouldn't make you stumble and do an aveira. The kutim say there is no iser to make someone do an aveira. When the Torah says lifnei iver, darshi le kipashte, they understand the pasuk of lifnei iver literally. The kutim are literalists. So how did they translate lifnei iver?
Don't actually put
a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So the kutim literally understand lifnei iver, do not put a stumbling block there. They say it has nothing to do with making someone do an aveira, not do an aveira. Come on. It has nothing to do with that. It's about literally putting a stumbling block. So the kutim understand that the pasuk is about literally putting a stumbling block. Rabbinic Judaism says that lifnei iver means do not allow someone or do not enable someone to do an aveira. That's rabbinic Judaism. But the question is, in rabbinic Judaism, is there an iser to put a stumbling block? So you would say, of course there is, no? Like, or else you end up in the cartoons. You know, like Roadrunner always has like stumbling blocks in front of him and he's always like falling over them. Right? But the Minchas Chinuch points out that when you go through all of the Rishonim who talk about Lifnei Iver, they all talk about do not give someone the ability to do Averis. In the Sefer HaChinuch, in the Rambam, in the Reb Sadia Gaon, in all the mitzvahs, in all the Svarim about the mitzvahs, they do not say that lifnei iver means don't put a stumbling block. And the Minchas Chinuch says, you know what? It could be because the kutim understand the pasuk to mean don't put a stumbling block literally. But rabbinic Judaism disagrees. And according to rabbinic Judaism, there might be some iser derabbanon for putting a stumbling block. No one is going to say that we're going to give you mafter yonah if you put a stumbling block in front of somebody. It's not like a mitzvah. It's bad. But it might not be the iser d'oraisa, says the Minchas Chinuch. The iser d'oraisa might only be an aveira. If I enable you to do an aveira, that's the iser d'oraisa. But if I literally put something in front of you and you trip, nope. Now, this, of course, is very problematic. Because in halacha, we assume that pshuto shel mikra is meaningful. The Torah says, lifnei iver lo titein mechshol. So the simple reading of the pasuk is what the kutim say, don't put a stumbling block. Are you going to tell me that rabbinic Judaism purges the pasuk of its simple meaning? It does not mean that? That's very hard to assume. But the Minchas Chinuch entertains this idea seriously. I should point out that, you know, Maseches Bava Kamma is all about damaging. If I damage, I have to pay. And the Gemara in a few places writes that it's usher to damage. But there's no pasuk in the Torah that says it's usher to damage. The Torah only says that if you damage, you have to pay. It never says you're not allowed to damage. What's the source? So the Meshech Chochma writes that the source in the Torah not to damage is Lifnei Iver Lo Titei Mechshol. I'm not supposed to put a stumbling block and have you trip and damage you, etc. That means I should not hurt you. That means I should not damage. That's what the Meshech Chochma says. That would be assuming that the way the Kutim learn the Pasuk is also correct. The real question over here boils down to, is it possible that the Kutim got anything right? Or do we have to assume that everything that they say is categorically wrong? Right? The Kutim understand the Pasuk of Lifnei Iver literally. Are we obligated as non-Kutim to understand that Lifnei Iver only means Averes? It does not mean stumbling blocks at all. There's much more to say about this. I happen to love the topic of Lifnei Iver. I just brought this up because it's one line in Tosis that's kind of interesting. Okay, ladies, questions, comments, observations? Hi, Rachel.
I'm still confused how this whole conversation about the wineskins and the truma, how that answered Abaye's question, because now Rav Meir still, fine, he has a difference between, he thinks there's a difference between the bursting of the wineskin and dying, but that doesn't prove that he holds of dying.
Well, I thought the point of it, proves that he's nervous about dying because Rabbi Meir says, I can't use an animal as the wall of a sukkah. And obviously the reason for that is that we're worried that you're going to die. So that's my proof that Rabbi Meir is nervous about dying.
Oh,
how come Rabbi Meir is okay with the truma? So the answer is that case he's not nervous about.
So he brings our Mishnah as a proof for Rabbi Meir's. Okay.
That's the way the Gemara, right, that's like the top four lines of Chaftal and Amun Aleph. Yeah. Zoe, you had a comment?
Yeah, don't we do assume in some cases that the Kutim do things correctly, though, don't we? Like Dioraita, we would assume that they do something correctly. We don't assume that this wine is Matame.
So the thing is, in our context, what we're saying is that the Kutim are misunderstanding. The Kutim will take off Truma and Meiser for themselves. They won't take off Truma and Meiser for me because they don't care about Lifnei Iver. And they are misunderstanding what Lifnei Iver means. But the question is, what is the extent of that misunderstanding? When they say that Lifnei Iver means literally putting a stumbling block, does that mean that that is not the pshat? Or is it that it is the pshat, but there's an additional level of interpretation in terms of enabling someone to do an Aveira? Right? That's the question.
And when you mentioned the Minchat Chinuch, was your comment about like the Rishonim understand this in a more, they don't put this as a Darabanan. That was what you were saying. Are they,
the,
sorry,
the Rishonim they don't do the not, they never quote the case. When they talk about Lifnei Iver, they do not talk about putting a stumbling block. That is absent from the Rishonim.
It's absent from them when they're elucidating Dioraita.
When they elucidate what Lifnei Iver means, it does not, they do not say those words putting stumbling blocks.
Thank you.
Okay. Rachel, you already had one question. We'll have to be nice.
No, this question is from the beginning of Shir. When we mentioned the wife of the Kohen, who has to know if her husband died so she can't have Shruma. I was just surprised that she loses her, I don't know, privilege of eating truma if her husband dies. Because I guess in my head, like the establishment of the ketubah is that the husband's supposed to support her even if there is a separation. So like if he dies, especially, like she's still a part of his household. And I don't understand that.
An Ashes Kohen who does not have children when the husband dies, she goes back to her father's house and she's no longer allowed to eat truma. That's what the Torah
says. That's the case of even Medina Hayam.
So the case is that he's away and we don't know if he's alive. We allow her to eat truma on the assumption that, right? On the assumption that the husband is still alive, yeah.
But that's if she had children, it wouldn't have been a question.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chevra. So you should have a good Shabbos, and we will continue our study of Torah and try to understand what God wants from us next week.
Thank you.